Our next speaker is Robin Elliott. She's going to respond on chapter 3, titled A Peculiar People, the Church of Jesus Christ. Robin is was the valedictorian of the graduating class of Tyndale Seminary in 2014, which means she's the best. She's a former student of Rob's. She made me say that. She's a former student of Rob's. It's true, though. She's a pastor and a spiritual director. This summer, she is the interim pastor of discipleship at Yorkminster Park Baptist Church. Robin.
You know, I had said to Steve he could embellish. I didn't realize he would take me seriously. So thank you for that wonderful embellishment and introduction. As Steve mentioned, I am a graduate of Tyndale, and as such, Rob was one of my professors for a number of subjects. And my papers often exceeded the word count or page limit. And with each submission of a paper, it was usually fairly predictable that I would have some kind of justifiable explanation. And I usually felt fairly badly about it, but not badly enough to cut back the papers. And I always submitted them hoping for grace. And I will say, Rob was always very gracious. However, since the chapter I was assigned was a whopping 80 pages, I no longer feel bad about any of the excesses of my papers. And if I ever write another one for you, I won't feel bad about that either. However, his chapter is far more interesting than any of my papers ever were, and well worth the 80 pages. Not a stray or wasted word in the whole chapter. If you haven't read any of Bonhoeffer's or Hauerwas's writings, not only do I recommend them, they must be on your bucket list, but if you haven't, for the life of the world, will not only inspire you to read them and move you to read them, but it provides a somewhat of a primer for these men's works. Rob's book is both an aggregate and a distillation of the very best of their anthologies and their quotes. And as each man was a prophetic voice, or is a prophetic voice, for the church in their respective historical and geographical context, so too Rob has brought them into conversation for such a time as this, and in such a place as this. And I don't think I need to remind you that the church in North America, at least the Sunday gatherings and the denominational memberships that we have come to call church, is in decline. Less and less people are identifying themselves with a particular brand of church or faith. Less and less are attending Sunday worship gatherings. And some are even leaving what we have come to call the church in order to preserve their faith. Or at least that's what they claim and understand to be true. The church gathered for worship, as we have known it for centuries, has become, in the minds of many today, irrelevant. And we're compelled, I think, by the essential nature of our calling to consider if, in fact, the church as we know it in North America, and I'm speaking in broad brushstrokes, has indeed become ineffective in our role as the incarnated presence of Jesus Christ in the world. And there are all kinds of reasons and explanations for this, and we could spend all this evening and all this week actually discussing those various reasons and debating them. But the very solid assertion that Rob presents by delving into the theologies of both Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Stanley Hauerwas is the need for the church, the body of Christ, to recover her identity and her mission, the latter of which depends entirely on the former. Because without a clear understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus, we'll flounder and even fail to understand our mission, which in fact isn't our mission at all, is it? But the mission of God into which we've been invited to participate. I recall a time early on in my seminary journey when I was struggling with a theodicy paper. And as you know, theodicy is the theology of suffering and evil. And I was frustrated with the ambiguity and the inaccessibility of the answers and the places I landed when one proposition was taken to its logical conclusion. And in my frustration bordering on despair, I said something like, "Theodicy is a somewhat circular and moot study that has no practical implications for life." I still can't believe I said that. in Rob's systematic theology class. But Rob, the theologian, surprised and even shocked me by saying, if we find our theology is not practical, then it's not theology. And that was a pivotal moment for me, and it impacted how I thought about theology and its imminent implications for the church. If it's not practical, it's not theology. And since then, I would also suggest that the opposite is true. If the church is not engaged in rigorous theological reflection, rigorous historical reflection, then it risks losing its divine practicality and its existential moorings. As the body of Christ struggles to regroup in the aftermath of the Constantinian project, known as Christendom, for the life of the world is a practical outworking, and I would venture to say an essential tool for the body of Christ as we rebuild, as we re-envision, and we recover our identity in Jesus Christ and our place in the Missio Dei. This is not another how-to manual for doing church, and it's not empty theology. Rather, Rob has reached back into the treasure trove of church history and eloquently elucidated each of the ecclesiologies of Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas, prophetic voices in their respective times. And he integrates their voices without losing the uniqueness of each one's context for our current situation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as you know, is one who witnessed the body of Christ divested of its once social prominence, prostituting herself to prestige offered by the Nazi regime. Stanley Hauerwas is a prophetic voice against the incongruity of the unholy union of faith and politics, the synthesis of the gospel with the American dream. His insight into the parallels of both contexts highlight the susceptibility of a confused North American church, now vulnerable to similar temptations. We are a church at risk. Chapter 3, A Peculiar People, The Church of Jesus Christ, opens with the questions, how do Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas understand the identity and mission of the church? What is the nature of the church's relationship to Jesus Christ? What is the place of the church within the economy of salvation? Perhaps obvious questions to some, and yet as Rob noted in his introduction, sometimes the most obvious questions are the most difficult to answer. In the plethora of literature out there, available on the church, we tend to skip the identity piece, the who we are, and move straight to the mission. What should we do? And the result of which is often a well-intentioned, though misdirected, approach to being the church. And what I appreciate in this chapter is the way Rob, through Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas, first grounds our identity in the person and work of Jesus. Because without a scripturally informed, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-empowered identity, everything else the church attempts to do will be a result of human construct. And we'll be in danger of missing our place within the economy of salvation, which is the mission of God. And as you move through the book, you will see a sobering reflection in the mirror of Bonhoeffer's passive Germanic church. And you'll hear Hauerwas' clarion call to wake up and to take heed. As he so aptly and famously noted, the first social ethical task of the church is to be the church. But to understand the task, we must understand what it means to be the church. And so we briefly turn to identity. Who exactly are we? We are, first of all, peculiar. And this is not Rob's word. This is not even Hauerwas' word. This is actually the gospel writer Matthew's word. And as a peculiar people, we are extraordinary. We are irregular. We are to be a people of self-denial, a people of perfect love and perfect purity and perfect truthfulness and perfect nonviolence. For Bonhoeffer, there is no community with Jesus Christ. That is, there is no Christianity without community with his body, the church. The new creation, the new human being, is not the single individual who's been justified and sanctified. Not as we have come to accept. Rather, the new human being is the church community, the body of Christ. Now, compare that thinking to the popular individualistic notion of faith without church, those leaving church to preserve their faith. Christianity without community. Christianity without the body of Christ. Bonhoeffer argues that the church is the enfleshed body of Christ on earth and is therefore itself a form of revelation. In other words, the world is to look at the people of God, the church gathered, your church, my church, the church, and exclaim, "So that's the gospel. Now I see it." Now, think again about your church. If you've read anything of Bonhoeffer, you'll know that he rails against what he calls cheap grace, a gospel that's been reduced to holding beliefs. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without the living incarnate Jesus Christ. And our sacred mantra as evangelicals is justification by grace through faith, is it not? And he claims that actually that mantra, that concept, that element becomes the element on which the church falls if, as he warns, the element becomes an abstract principle divorced from the living person of Jesus Christ. The Constantinian project, which resulted in the establishment of Christianity as the religion of the empire, of which we are its descendants, meant that conviction, obedience, was no longer required to be a Christian. Because when you live in a supposedly Christian nation, then to be a subject or a citizen of that nation is synonymous with being a Christian. There is a presumptive Christianity at play that inoculates one from the true viral faith. Hence, the church was no longer an identifiable and peculiar people, and the church became an arm of the state. The catastrophic result, of course, of this Constantinian attempt to transform the world into the kingdom was that rather than making the world Christian, the church became worldly. Now pause again. Think about your church. Think about our church. That's our current and tragic reality. As faith was reduced to a belief system, Christianity became a very private affair, and Christian practice was amputated from Christian faith, untouched by the gospel. In a rather cynical commentary on the contemporary church, Stanley Hauerwas remarks, "The called church has become the voluntary church, whose primary characteristic is that the congregation is friendly." We face a political challenge. And I don't mean Donald Trump, but the recovery of the distinctive character, the peculiarness, the polis of the church's life as a community of disciples gathered by and around Jesus. Our identity as disciples is that we are peculiar. We are cruciform followers who are not called to be salt and light, but who, by the call of Jesus on our lives, are by nature salt and light. It's not something we do. It's who we are, or at least who we should be. Faith and discipleship in the theologies of Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas, as you heard already, are not mere believing. They're visible. They're living. It's the orientation of the entire person towards Jesus Christ. And therefore, knowing Christ is following Christ, and believing is obedience. If faith isn't visible, if it's not an incarnational reality in our character, our decisions, our reactions, our life together, then it's not faith. It's not discipleship. It's not identity in Jesus Christ. Now again, think about the church. Think about our discipleship. Wherein is our identity? When we understand our identity, we can then begin to look to our task, which is, first of all, the task of God, the Missio Dei. Hauerwas identifies our task as that which is not to change the world. And maybe we should just pause right there. Our task is not to change the world, but to witness to the fact that the world has already been changed, definitively changed, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how do we witness to this change except by living it, enfleshing it, enfleshing this reality of a new creation, incarnating the presence of Jesus in our midst? So what is our task? As the body of Christ, we are to be the site, the location where Christ takes form in the world. Both Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas are convinced that in their respective contexts, and I want you to think our context, the church's task is to recover its public presence as an identifiable community of disciples, following Jesus according to the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, the Sermon on the Mount is to be our constitution. For both of these men, the person and work of Christ are inseparable. And likewise, the identity and mission of the church are inseparable. There is no mission outside of our identity in Christ. And our mission is contingent upon, is consequential to our identity to Christ. What is our task as the church? It's a task of being. It's a task of being peculiar and extraordinary and cruciform. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. And now again, think about your church. Think about your own following. In the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the church is the visible contradiction of the world from within the world, for the sake of the world, so the world may know that it is loved and reconciled by God. It is the site, as Rob says, for the reintegration of fragmented human existence. The site for the reintegration of fragmented human existence. What a noble calling, requiring a peculiar people, walking behind a crucified Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of the mission of God and for the sake of the world. And I realize I've not begun to do justice to Rob's chapter on the church as a peculiar people. The church is the mission of God, the presence of Jesus Christ. So much more can be said, but Rob's already said it. All you have to do is read it. Well, buy it and then read it. And besides, I've already exceeded my word count. But let me close with a final word from Stanley Hauerwas. In a world without foundations, all we have is the church. That should prompt a collective gasp, really, from us. In a world without foundations, all we have is the church. For the life of the world is summoning us to theologically reconsider our identity and our calling. It's a necessary and practical theology for the church today. Don't just read this book. Ingest it. Engage with it individually and together, collectively, in your churches, and live it. Because after all, if theology isn't practical, it isn't theology. Rob, congratulations and thank you for this book. It's a gift to the church.